At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard. Hope that you're doing well. Hope it's a payday for you. Get out and go do some cool stuff. It's always nice. And for those of you that observe, we got a new Motley Crue song today as they covered the Beastie Boys classic Fight for Your Right. They also announced an EP will drop October the 4th, I believe is correct. And looks like it's just a 3-song EP. Who knows what they're going to do, you know. But another song that'll be out then called Canceled. That's the name of the EP. So new music from Motley. For sure. When they the song Dogs of War came out, I wasn't sure kind of what to expect. But I dig it. I do like Dogs of War. I think it's a really, really good song. Probably one of the better songs they've written. You know, really maybe since Vince has been back in the band. And when they performed over in London, they performed as Dogs of War. And they covered Fight for Your Right to party. And it went over well. So you can check that out now on the streaming platforms. And we're going to talk some college football today. A lot of college football today. I think it's important that we celebrate tomorrow, even though we're not playing tomorrow. But you're going to be able to watch games. We'll take a quick look at the schedule and kind of see what's out there. I can talk a little bit about, you know, what are the reasonable expectations this year for Mississippi State football? And what we've done historically, wrote an article about that yesterday, and we're going to talk a little bit about the wide receivers today. That's always a fun group. Yeah, yeah. And you guys know what a great job Chad Bumpus did on the recruiting trail last year, not just with the portal, but with the high school ranks. And a lot of chatter about that group. Of course, we needed to kind of overhaul that. And Xavion Thomas, of course, leaves us and heads down to LSU, which is where his high school coach always hoped he would be. So congratulations to him for accomplishing that goal. Yeah, congrats. But, it's been a great week. And limited media availability this week for those of us that cover the Bulldogs. We had basically Tuesday and Wednesday. And Bulldogs are kind of locking in now. And we're a little bit beat up in some positions, too. Secondary's got some guys who are a little bit beat up. Most of those guys are expected to be back pretty soon. But they're going to be careful with those guys. And it seems like every time we go out there, there's a new guy in a yellow jersey. Of course, limited contact for those guys. But I'm ready to see this team on the field. And in 8 days, we're going to get that opportunity. If you haven't bought your tickets, let me encourage you to do so. Come kick off the Jeff Lebby era with us. And it's so interesting, too. Like, there's just such a disparity, I guess, in levels of enthusiasm when it comes to this. And I think a lot of it's just because, college athletics as a whole are changing and people have kind of been inundated with all this talk about transfer portal and NIL compensation and the Howell settlement. It's like, man, I just want to enjoy watching my school play sports, and I want our school to be successful. And once the Bulldogs tee it up, really none of that stuff matters anymore, right? That's an important aspect of this. Transfer portal is closed, right? It wasn't open again until the end of the season. And so we are who we are. Now we'll go see exactly what we can do with this roster. But You know, I think it's important that we get out and support this new coaching staff. And I've said it countless times on the show, it's been a traumatic couple of years. At the end of the day, there's so much of this, like, you know, we kind of look at each other and kind of learn to depend on each other. Because you never know what your roster is going to look like from year to year. You don't know what your coaching staff is going to look like from year to year. I mean, you think about it. We've had a changing of the guard of the director of athletics position. We're on our third head coach in 2 years. There's been a lot of turmoil in many respects. And we just need some consistency. That's what we need. Consistency wins in college athletics. You have people that come in. They teach their system. Everybody becomes pretty, I guess you could say, kind of aware of the nuances of what's expected of them. There's so much of that that needs to happen. You know, we just need to get into this football season, have a good year. I'm not expecting a great year, right? Nobody's going to give me a fresh nickname for my preseason prediction this year. But I think everybody kind of sees it the way that I do, is that I love college athletics. I do. I love college athletics. I love covering college sports. I live in the big maroon bubble. And I commend those people that have so much time to kind of keep up with pro sports and things of that nature. And I do occasionally, but my emphasis and my enthusiasm is about Mississippi State and about college sports. And, you know, when we watch a game, as soon as we get done, I'm ready to go watch another game of a team that we're going to play, right? That's my feelings. And so on Sundays, you know, we're doing a lot of kind of wrap-up type stuff. And I love to be able to sit and watch an NFL game in the evenings when I can, but it doesn't always work out that way. But, you know, again, Mississippi State's our focus. We hope you come join us over at jeanspage.com, the leader in Mississippi State sports coverage. There are some others that would like to make the claim, but even in their own hearts, they know that that's not correct. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I will be having lunch there today. Today is my youngest, Ian Robertson's 19th birthday. So I'm not going to go to a high school game tonight. We'll get caught up next week. Today is his birthday, and we're going to go see The Crow this afternoon. Me and him and his sister Mia, we're going to go have a little bit of a family outing. So we're having lunch at Bulldog Burger Company. We'll take a bit of a break, and then we'll go watch The Crow. And Ian said, hey, I just kind of want an excuse to go up to Bulldog. I say, there's always a good excuse to go to Bulldog, right? There's a quality meal awaiting us upon our arrival. So looking forward to that. Leaning towards getting the comeback burger because I can only get that for 8 more days. And I love it, man. I do. It's one of my favorites. And I've had them all. And so if you are a Bulldog Burger Company veteran, and you haven't tried the comeback burger, maybe you're like, hey, I want to go to Bulldog and kind of get my regular favorite. Let me encourage you to kind of shake things up a little bit and try that comeback burger. Again, only available for a limited time. And three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. And look in the mirror this morning, I think I need a spring roll. I do. I'm going to admit that. And so you see me this morning, I may look different this evening. Yeah, because I'm going to have that spring roll as part of my beauty care regimen. Also going to get that Nutella shake to go if things go well. Unless they talk me into something else. There may be something else there for limited time. I remember the banana shake that we did? Do you remember that? Yeah, back in 18 when we were making our run to Omaha and we did that special banana shake for about 2 weeks. I wish we'd bring that back, even for just a limited time. The thing was outstanding. That's one of the things that I love about Bulldog Burger Company is there is some consistency with my favorites, but they're always just kind of adding some new things to kind of keep the experience fresh. Not everybody does that. I enjoy that about them, that I can go in there and have the same quality experience, but each time it's a little bit unique. Yeah, great food, great service, great price, great atmosphere, and great portions. You know, we've talked about it really for 4 years now. In the post-COVID world, there are a lot of people out there charging you more for less, but there has been integrity in pricing throughout the experience at Bulldog Burger Company. I think that is to be commended and to be rewarded with your patronage. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's talk wide receivers. It's so interesting to me, too, to see how this group has really kind of transformed. Really, in just a few months' time. It is a completely different group, for the most part, at the wide receiver position. And again, we needed an influx of talent, and Chad Bumpus really stepped up and did a great job. I joked with Chad earlier this summer. I said, will Levy ever tell you no when it comes to a wide receiver? And he just kind of grinned and said, yeah, he wants them too. Yeah, and we all do, right? And we need playmakers in this offense. I really like this group. I shared yesterday, you know, some concerns about the running back room. And listen, they may prove to be great, but there's just not a lot of proven performance there. And you hope Booth can acclimate to the SEC and do some big things for us. We really need him to do some big things. But it's not just a one-man show. We're going to do it by committee. We have to do it by committee. But there's just not much in the way of production returning. And, you know, we hit the portal pretty hard. We would have taken two portal running backs if we could have found two that made us better. You don't just want to go take a warm body that's not better than what you already have. But, you know, I'm excited about this offense. And I think one of the big reasons why is that we do have some explosive playmakers at the wide receiver position. And, of course, a lot of that credit goes to the guy doing the recruiting, the coaching, and the developing of those players. And it's been fun to watch those guys get out and run a little bit. You know, we haven't seen much team stuff, but been excited by what we've seen. Now, number one, wearing Chad Bumpus' number, is Kelly Akari. Rhymes with Atari. It looks a little more complicated than it is. He's been a little bit banged up as of late, and I don't know that he plays next weekend. You know, we'll see if we can't get Jeff Lebby next week to kind of give us a, you know, health report. I don't know how they're going to handle that. You know, there's all this discussion. You know, Lebby's like, he's kind of told us kind of off the cuff. He's like, hey, if a guy's out for the year, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. But if a guy's, you know, maybe out for a week or two, or we expect him back, we're not really going to talk about that. But yeah. Akari is a guy that was very, very productive at UTEP, and you guys had a chance to see him in the spring game, and you can see why he was so coveted as a prospect, and what a great job that Jeff Lebby and Chad Bumpus did to get him there. But, you know, Akari is a guy that been named some awards, preseason watch list type stuff, a native of Irving, Texas. Maybe you're familiar there. But 6'1", 200 pounds, and everybody tells me he has been the alpha dog in the meeting room, in the locker room, in the huddle. You know, he is a guy that is eager to kind of run wide open in the Southeastern Conference play and prove what he can do. This is a guy with NFL potential. Now, if he can get anywhere close to the level of production that he had at UTEP here at Mississippi State, I feel pretty confident that he's going to get drafted. And that was one of the things Bumpus said watching the draft, that he texted Lebby and said, this is the last year we don't have a receiver drafted. That's music to our ears. It feels like it's been forever and a day since we've had a wide receiver drafted. You know, we thought Mekhi Polk was going to break the streak and didn't work out. All right, the next guy, another transfer, Kevin Coleman, from Louisville, native of St. Louis, Missouri, highly, highly recruited out of high school and highly recruited out of the portal. This is a big win here. And, of course, we had a relationship there. Bumpus had a pre-existing relationship with Kevin and had some connections with him. And you know as well as I do, so much of this is about trust. Recruiting is about relationships. And we talk about NIL and things of that nature. You know, that may get your foot in the door, but you still got to close. And there are some schools out there just going to write you a check, right? And there's some kids out there just willing to take it and say, hey, I've got to do what I got to do. But when we're competitive in NIL, and we are, when things are similarly situated with other schools, you have to out-recruit them. You have to prove that, hey, this is an offense that will allow you the ability to showcase your skills and potentially get you to the next level. And that was really the case with Kevin. And he said when he announced his commitment that Chad Bumpus was a huge reason why he chose Mississippi State. I would say he's probably your number two receiver right now. I mean, as far as like, you know, what we've seen and what we've heard, I think Kevin Coleman's going to be a really, really big part of things. And if you're watching the roster, they have until Monday to lock in numbers. You know, they've made some changes, which kind of, you know, plays havoc when you take the pictures and things of that nature. But, yeah, KC is a guy that is one of those guys. I think he's changed numbers since the spring. I think that's right. But he's going to be a big-time guy. We expect him to come in and really be a bell cow from the beginning. And, again, this is a guy, you know, he's got some juice with him. J.J. Harrell, of course, a little bit limited in the spring. He has looked good in what we have seen in practice. Looks to be full go for the fall. And I think all these freshmen are probably going to play. I don't think you redshirt them. I think, you know, that this group that came in, at least the big three, you know, Harrell, Burnside, and Craver, I think those guys end up playing. But, you know, J.J., of course, was frustrated in the spring, not with anybody particular, but just frustrated that he wasn't 100%. He looks like he has gained some good weight in the time that he's been here. And that helps when you enroll in January. Of course, when you have aspirations to play as a true freshman in the fall, it behooves you to be a December graduate and be able to enroll in that and have the benefit of spring practice to kind of learn the playbook and acclimate to the speed of the game. But then you have the summer workouts to kind of prepare you physically. That's a big part of things. And J.J. looks the part. You know how explosive he is. Braylon Burnside, had a chance to see him in drills on Wednesday. He looks like he's put on some good weight too. And he was already kind of jacked, right? I mean, you know, Stonka's a big-time player. It's a big-time get for Mississippi State. I'm eager to see what they do. They even worked him some at running back in the spring just a little bit. And I think a lot of that was really because of team need. Kind of like we discussed yesterday. I mean, there was just some depth concerns there, and just kind of getting through practice sometimes is a real challenge when you don't have a lot of guys at running back. And so I'm not completely ready to abandon the possibility that Stonka may carry the football sometimes. You know, maybe you bring him on the backside of the formation, maybe you flex him to the backfield, but he is going to be a wide receiver. And he makes some tough catches. That's one thing that I admire about him. We talk about contact courage and things like that. When you have guys that can elevate and make the tough catch in traffic, it's an immeasurable skill, and Stonka certainly has that. He's not afraid to go up and compete for the football. Now, Jordan Mosley is a guy that transferred in from Northwestern. Not a ton of production, but I'll tell you this. He's one of the team favorites. There are a lot of people that talk about what a leader he has been this year, and there's now an opportunity for him to play perhaps with the first team. People forget, Mosley was committed to Tennessee, and then they make a coaching change, and then he ends up going to Northwestern, gets up there. He's really far away from home. You know, he's a native of McKill-Tulin High School there in Alabama. Gets a chance to come back. Kind of took him some time to kind of get up to speed, I think, but it appears that he has taken a jump. And again, made some plays for us last year. Not a lot of them, but he made some plays last year. But it does appear now that he's had, you know, the benefit of, you know, the full year to kind of learn how to operate in this league, that now he's ready to go. Expecting some good things for him. Mario Craver, we've had multiple defensive backs that have come.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. all that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Came out and said, you know what, Craver is one of the more difficult guys to defend, not just because he's fleet of foot. There is some quickness that goes with it. There are a lot of people that are just kind of straight line fast, and they just want to run the dadgum fade all the time. Craver is a guy that has some wiggle, as the old high school coaches used to say. So he can make you miss and then get up to speed and win the foot race to the end zone. Very difficult guy to defend. And a lot of it, too, is even though he is a smaller guy, he has proven to have some pretty good releases. He's able to get off the line and kind of get out into his route. And when you have that kind of foot speed, people have to respect it. And so you come up and press him, you better be able to get hands on him, because if he gets loose and gets a quality release and gets into the open field, you're in trouble. And so, yeah, we expect him to play a lot. He's been mentioned consistently by the defensive backs, and even some of the quarterbacks have mentioned him. And it's pretty rare to hear a freshman mentioned really by veteran players, and because there's so many freshmen, right? And so the fact that people know their names is significant. But the fact that they've now learned their game a little bit tells me that there are some veteran players that believe Mario Craver is going to be able to help us this year. And he was a guy, too, if you recall, he was ready to commit to Mississippi State the week that we fired Zach Arnett. And then we had to kind of push it back a little bit, you know. But he just loved Mississippi State. I remember talking to his coach, and he said, you know, the very first time he went over there, there was just kind of something special about it. It's close to home. It's in the SEC. It's a couple hours away. Clay Chalkville High School. Great program. And has been for many years. But he was sold on Mississippi State and was going to commit to us, even though he didn't know who the head coach was. And you got to be careful with that, right? Got to make sure you get the coach and make sure that the coach wants the player. And certainly they did. Mario Craver, obviously a very, very big commitment in Mississippi State's class. And a lot of people kind of like, well, you know, Steve, how good can he be? And then you see him in the Under Armour game and you're like, okay, yeah, this kid can play. All right, Creed Whittemore. It may be one of Steve Spurrier's greatest contributions to Mississippi State football because of the fact, you know, Creed came here because of a relationship with Steve Spurrier Jr. And a lot of people thought when Spurrier left that he may get in the portal. Well, he didn't. And Bumpus and he have built a really good relationship. Now, Creed is going to be in the rotation at receiver, as he should be. He was a little bit banged up at times last year. I know he got off to such a good start and people were like, hey, what happened to Creed? He got a little bit banged up. Nothing serious, but, you know, that's how life is in football, right? You get a little bit banged up, you got to work through it. But Creed's going to be a kick returner too, may even do some punt returns too. They're going to utilize him in a variety of ways. And I know he's already a bit of a fan favorite because you don't expect him to run as well as he does, but he will absolutely leave you behind. As competitive as they come, was a former high school quarterback. I know they put in a play last year, and I'm sure, you know, Jeff Lebby is no dummy either. They put in a play last year for Creed to throw it. And there were a couple times I said, hey, they're probably going to run the Creed play this week. You know, we kind of set it up, put some things on film, and kind of set it up. And I think we tried to run it once and it just wasn't there. But Creed is a guy with a multitude of skill that can help you in a variety of ways. And so, yeah, I think he is going to be a much bigger part of things this year. Now, Ricky Johnson comes in from Warner Robins, Georgia, from Houston County High School out there. You recall Ricky was committed to Stanford and then flipped to Mississippi State late. And a lot of it had nothing to do with Stanford. It was really just kind of proximity from home. But I give Bumpus credit again, going in there kind of getting on this guy and saying, nah, you don't want to go all the way out there. You want your family to be a part of this. And Ricky told me that part of his decision was his younger brother. He wanted his younger brother to be able to come to every game that he could. And that was going to be difficult to do way out in California. That was a big part of things. You always think about, well, you know, some kids are scared to go away from home. Ricky wasn't scared to do that. He just wanted his friends and family to be able to be a part of this thing and be able to come support him. And he wanted his little brother, who means an awful lot to him, and he's much younger, but he wanted his younger brother to be able to come to games. and he wanted to be able to see his younger brother in the stands. Those are the kinds of things that make me want to really root for kids, right? I mean, you think, you see the video, and you see all the offers, and you read the articles and things like that, but that doesn't always tell you the true measure of a person. And when Ricky told me how close he and his younger brother were, and how important it was that he wanted to be in his life, and he wanted to be all the way out in California and rarely ever get to see him, I think it speaks to the character of one Ricky Johnson. Young people like that win. Those are people you can build a program around. Now, Jaden Wiley is back, and I'll be honest with you, we haven't heard a lot about Jaden this year. We didn't hear a lot about Jaden last year. Had somebody tell me this summer that he had some injury issues last year that, you know, just really weren't disclosed. He had some things he was working through. And so I don't know what to tell you about what you should expect from Jaden Wiley. I go back to that 2020 year. You remember him sprinting through the secondary between the hedges at Athens, Georgia, and we were like, yep, here we go. We got something here. And, of course, for a couple of years there, he led us in drops too. And so not sure what we can expect from Jaden this year. I know that he has been a fan favorite, but he could be a bit of an X factor for us. But you brought in some pretty explosive players around him. My hope is that that will kind of help him elevate his game a little bit because, the ability is there. There's no doubt that he has talent. Very, very talented guy. And so, but you kind of feel like now, I mean, you kind of existed last year without him, and anything he gives you there is kind of a bonus. Sanfrisco McGee, number 13 from Macomb High School, of course, a little bit later enrollee. I love this kid's game, and I always have, from the beginning. When I first learned who Sanfrisco McGee was, not just because he has a cool name, and not just because he's from the Highway 98 corridor like your good friend and host. The very first time I put his film on, I just wanted to know how big he was. I knew he was fast enough. I knew he had the ability to elevate. I knew he was tough. I was like, I just got to know how big he is. Because if this guy's as big as I think he is, this guy's certainly an SEC player. And he absolutely is. And he left Big Dog Camp. And everybody's like, yep, he's going to commit to Mississippi State. And the next thing you know, he kind of surprised everybody and commits to Ole Miss. And it was kind of like a Tyler Lockhart thing. I said, that's not going to stick. That's not going to stick. And it didn't. Because in the end, Mississippi State was in his heart. And I'm not saying that to troll anybody else. I've seen the text message that he sent to Derek Nix when he decommitted. He wanted to go to Mississippi State. He wanted to go to Mississippi State all along. And so people got in his ear and said, you know, hey, Ole Miss is probably the move. But at the end of the day, Sanfrisco McGee is a Mississippi State kid. And there are some kids that are just Ole Miss kids. There's a difference. And you know what? That's okay. But Frisco needed to be at Mississippi State. I think he's a guy that's going to be – when you look at this class, when you go back and look at the wide receiver haul, maybe he didn't have the hype that some of his high school peers did, but I think when you look back maybe 3 years from now, you're going to be like, I am so glad that we got Sanfrisco McGee, provided this kid stays healthy. He comes from good stock. He comes from a great part of the state. Knows about hard work. Played for a great coach, Alvin Foster, there at Macomb. So eager to see what he can do. Now, Trent Hudson, a guy that came in June, as you guys know, eager to see what he can do too. And it feels just like so much of a bonus, right? Comes to us in New Mexico State. You're thinking, well, do we need another portal wide receiver? Oh, yeah, we'll take him. Let's go. And I admire what they're doing here. It's like, hey, we have got to be explosive down the field. And then here's a guy that's 6'3", 180, 185, another big physical receiver that can catch in traffic, a guy that can block on the perimeter. And so it's like a bonus, right? We felt like, hey, our portal haul was great at wide receiver. Then all of a sudden, oh, we're going to take him too? Yeah, let's get it done. And he's a guy that looks good in the uniform too. Like what we've seen from him in the limited practices that we've seen. Antonio Harmon's back at receiver too. You know, that they made him a tight end last year just because that was kind of a team need. Another big-bodied guy. You know, and I think Jeff Lebby will know how to utilize him. You can flex him. You know, there's a lot you can do with him to kind of create some matchups. And Jeff Levy doesn't need you or I to tell him how to do that. I think it's pretty safe to say that there is a role for Antonio Harmon in this offense. All right, let's real quickly, before we get to our top 10 list, let's look back kind of at last year. And you know, our wide receiver numbers were hurt last year by the fact that, you know, we had a change in offensive philosophy. And then in addition to that, too, you know, Will Rogers missing, you know, some considerable time, you know. And you hate that, right? Yeah, you know, people forget we played 8 games last year and Will Rogers played, we played 12 games. Will Rogers played in 8. So he missed 4 games, and even when he came back, he wasn't quite 100%. Now he won't make any excuses for himself, but it wasn't the same. Now, Tulu Griffin, of course, is our leading receiver last year, caught 50 balls for 658 yards and 4 touchdowns. Xavion Thomas caught 40. So you got 90 receptions between 2 guys, and both of those guys are gone. He had 1,161 yards between the 2 of them. They're gone. And you may not remember this. Xavion Thomas had 1 touchdown. That was at Auburn. You're like, really? Yeah, really. That's it. Justin Robinson last year caught 21 balls, 257 yards, and went transfer portal. He's gone. And, of course, Woody Marks, great receiver out of the backfield his entire career here. He's gone. Freddie Roberson, the guy that transferred in, people expected big things from, didn't work out. He caught 11 balls last year, did have a touchdown. 149 yards. I remember some people were just so incredibly excited about him, and it just never came together. And just, you know, it's tough to make a move from Eastern Washington to the Southeastern Conference and maintain that same level of trajectory. It's difficult. And that's part of this portal process, is kind of figuring out guys that can do it. And so, again, if you've been doing the math with me here, so your top 5 receivers from a year ago are gone. For one reason or another, either they exhausted their college eligibility, they hit the transfer portal, or they declared for the draft. Top 5 receivers from last year's team are gone. Now, that understood, I think collectively this group has more talent than the group last year. And that's not a shot at Xavion or Tulu, because if they played this year, they would be among the most talented players this year too. But I think collectively, this group is more explosive. They're more in line with Xavion and Tulu. Does that make sense? Now, working through the returners, Creed Whittemore last year, 11 balls in 12 games, 102 yards, couple touchdowns. Antonio Harmon, 14 balls, 1 touchdown. Between the 2 of them, 200 yards receiving. Yeah. Then, of course, Jeffrey Pittman. Jaden Wiley caught 5 passes last year for 49 yards and touchdown. Jordan Mosley, discussed him earlier. 3 receptions last year, 45 yards and a touchdown. And so the point that I'm making here, and Jacoby Belazar, remember him, played in 2 games, had 1 catch. And I remember, and again, I say this, and I say this for the sake of clarity here. It is so incredibly difficult for a guy from junior college that's a true JUCO guy, and not a D1 bounce back, but a guy that is like, played high school ball, now he goes to junior college. So there is a progression in the level of competition. And then they get in the SEC, and they have to work at a much different rate. And a lot of people tell you, you know, Jacoby Belazar is a difference maker. And I don't think that was fair to him. I think he probably needed another year, but I think maybe he found out that it was going to be difficult to play here. Great young man, but again, it's one of those things, you know, people love the hot takes. They can come back later and say, I told you so. I tried to tell you guys this kid was going to be great, and he was. Well, they never come back and give you the second side of that, right? They don't come back and say, hey, I thought this kid was going to be great, and he wasn't. More times than not. It's an ego thing. It is. Nobody wants to lose. But it's so important to understand when a guy comes in from junior college, it is going to take some time. I don't care what position they play. The speed of the game is so much different here. And not just on game day, but in practice. You know, you got guys in junior college, I mean, that aren't even sticking routes. you know, they're just getting by on athleticism. And that's not a slam on our JUCO coaches, because I can tell you that it's not that they're coaching that. There are just a lot of guys out there that says, hey, I'm bigger, faster, and stronger than the scout here. I don't have to be quite as precise with my route running. Well, when you get to this level, yes, you do. And there are some guys that can't make that transition. And so I think that's what makes me more excited about this group, is the fact you've got so many guys that know what a Division I training camp looks and feels like. You got a bunch of guys that know what a D1 football game feels like. And not just guys that can go play, but guys that can go win, as Jeff Levy talks about. That's the important aspect of it. And so you think about, hey, Steve, we had a great high school wide receiver class. And we absolutely did. And really the best thing about that is, unlike when Bumpus and Arcedo Clark and Chris Smith and O'Neal Wilder and those guys came in together within a year or two of each other, they had to be forced into action. We don't have to force these guys into action yet. Because of the benefit of the transfer portal, we can go get some stopgap guys that will allow those guys to play, but really not feel the pressures of trying to carry a program as freshmen. And so I like the way this wide receiver room is constructed, not just for now, but for next year. And so, yeah, we went out there and sowed our seeds in the spring and the summer and got the best high school receivers in this state, and then ultimately added an All-American from Alabama and Mario Craver. And so we're super excited about that group, but we're kind of protecting them a little bit too by allocating some resources and kind of hitting the portal. And again, you heard the numbers. Top five receivers are gone. You got to retool the whole room, but you don't want to throw those freshmen to the wolves. So Labby and Bumpus, I think, did an amazing job constructing this room. And now we're ready to go see them play. And again, I think, you know, when you begin to think about, you know, Coleman and Akari and Hudson and those guys, I think it gives you some opportunities to maybe let those freshmen kind of come along at their own pace. I mean, yeah, you got to push them a little bit, you know. I'd rather say woe than sick them, right? But I think this group is one of the more promising personnel packages on the entire roster. And I think you saw a glimpse of that in the spring. And provided we can keep Blake Shapen upright and keep him healthy, I think that you're going to have a lot of fun watching these wide receivers run into the end zone. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend. Blair is your friend. Blair is a friend to all that need mortgage help. Blair is also one of us. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. Blair is a multi-sport season ticket holder, has a place here in town. He's also got 23 years of experience in the mortgage lending industry. Nobody stays in any industry for over 20 years by luck. It doesn't happen that way. He's a producer. Thus, close with Blair. Top 1% close ratio in the country, back-to-back-to-back years. If you're looking to get a game day condo, which may be cheaper than you think, or maybe more affordable is the way to put that, or you're looking for your first home, maybe life is throwing you a curveball, you're looking for a life reset, you got to find somewhere new to live, take some of the stress out of your life and let Blair carry that load for you. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. That goes directly to Blair. That's his personal cell. Not a call center, not a receptionist, directly to Blair. You're dealing with the man himself. Guy knows how to get things done. He'll be your advocate with underwriting, knows how to construct loans and the best way to get an approval. And that's what you want. And if you're looking for a home, let's get that pre-approval ahead of time. You want to see a motivated real estate agent, and we have some amazing ones in the Mississippi State family. Get that pre-qualification letter. Then you know exactly what you're looking for. You're not looking for a home outside of your means. Blair can be one of your best friends. Again, that's closewithblair.com. Okay, I found myself today, I called an audible. I had something else planned today. But this morning, as I awoke, trying not to make too much racket, you know, dogs are ready to go outside. After a night of rest, But a lot of times I'll grab my phone and stay in bed and scroll for a little while. Many of you probably do the same thing. Didn't want the dogs getting too rambunctious until the wife woke up. And at some point you get to it and say, gotta get up. But I stumbled upon a conversation with some Nirvana fans, which is kind of like a cult. And they're absolutely just disparaging Courtney Love and the band Hole. Now, what's interesting, Courtney Love had already been in a couple movies. She already had an album before she even met Kurt Cobain. And some people were acting like, well, you know, she's only successful because she was Mrs. Kurt Cobain. Now, that's not to deny the fact that she had more visibility because of Nirvana's success. But to suggest that, that Courtney Love was just a Stepford wife of some sort is just incorrect. Now, a lot of people, of course, blame her for Kurt's early demise. I think there's probably some truth in that. It was clearly a toxic relationship. But all that I understood, she was a very talented lady in her own right, and I don't think that she's gotten enough credit. And you go back and look, there's such a revisionist history about that time in music. But a lot of people, especially ladies that grew up in that era, will tell you that lived through this, one of the best albums of the 90s. And I tend to agree. And to be honest with you, I kind of like Hole better than Nirvana. And you say, Steve, you're going out of line here. Well, you know, I think in the end, it was the songs made a little more sense, right? So here are my top 10 Hole songs. Does that make sense? You with me? Top 10 Hole songs. Four albums. Pretty on the Inside, Lived Through This. I can't remember the third one. And then Nobody's Daughter. Let's check that just to be correct. That third one, what was the third one? Celebrity Skin. There we go. All right, so here we go. Number 10 is the title track off the 2010 album, Nobody's Daughter. That's after Hole had kind of reunited. Really good track. A lot of people can identify with it. That album in itself kind of has a little more of a refined sound. It's a good band. And this was a nice return. Number 9, a song called Asking For It. And it kind of poses the question, you know, was she asking for it? And it kind of leaves some room for interpretation. But I think it's pretty safe to say that you kind of have an idea of the subject matter just by the title. The title kind of gives it away. Now, the first album, Pretty on the Inside, was very much kind of a punk album, and it had a lot of success across the way in Europe. Had some success here too, but the track Teenage Whore went to number one on the British alternative rock songs. And it is very irreverent, as you could imagine. Again, you're kind of judging the book by the cover here. Courtney Love at some point was an adult entertainer trying to support her musical dreams. An attractive lady in her own right. Maybe not the ladylike persona that many of you expect, but a very irreverent song. And I think one of the things too that a lot of people kind of identified with Courtney Love and with Hole is the fact that there was all this female rage. It was kind of a precursor to kind of what we've seen now, but I think there was some authenticity in what she did. Now, a lot of people that go into music, go into art, are looking for a way to kind of express themselves because they have something to say. There's something within them, whether it be some trauma or some pain or something like that, they want to find a way to get it out. And many people want to get it out and try to help other people. It's like, hey, I'm not alone. Somebody else has experienced this. But as they begin to have some success and begin to accumulate some wealth, people have a tendency to heal. I think sometimes maybe financial security is kind of the enemy of art in some respects. We talk about starving artists, you know, people who starve for their art or whatever. Then they have some success and they begin to kind of disappear. And it happens in all forms of art, right? I can think of some authors that the early stuff, when they were just trying to make it, is a little more authentic. And then all of a sudden you kind of get on the hamster wheel and say, well, I've got to write another book. People expect this. And then I think the work suffers. And I think there's people in music, you see it the same way. It's like now all of a sudden they can afford to go to therapy. And so the things that I loved about them before maybe aren't evident anymore. And maybe that's the case here. But I really dig this track. I don't know how you guys feel about some of the deeper tracks. But it's Pacific Coast Highway off the, let me double check that. I believe that's the Nobody's Daughter. Yeah, the Nobody's Daughter album. But it appears, from listening to this song and some of the subject matter on that album, she's a little bit less angsty, right? And again, it didn't sell as well because music changed, but the quality of the songs, I think, is really good. And this is one of the better ones on there. All right, number six, a song that is kind of a fan favorite. I don't believe this was ever released as a single, but it's the last track on a Celebrity Skin album. It's a song called Petals. It's a super cool song with a great vibe. If you don't know the track, I think it's one, if you listen to this, that you're going to say, you know what, hey, this is one that kind of stands out that maybe I'm unfamiliar with. All right, now we get to the top five, and I think most people would agree these are the top five. You may not agree in the order, but we go back to the kind of the beginning of, the Live Through This album. The first single was Miss World. Super cool track. I think it's one of those things, too, that it was kind of an announcement, like a proclamation to the world that I'm here. I've learned a few things. Maybe I've healed a little bit. Maybe I'm a better person. And that's debatable. But super cool track. Number four, Malibu. This was a huge hit. And it was the second single, I guess, off the Celebrity Skin album. But of course, hey, you grow up in Seattle and you end up moving to California and, find some success, find some comfortability, I guess you could say. But again, a song with a good vibe. Number three, another fan favorite here. This actually was a single. And if you read the comments, if you ever go in those Facebook groups, and I do, I enjoy talking music with people. The lead track on the Live Through This album is Violet. And I think there's some vulnerability in the lyrical content here. I think it kind of gives you a window kind of into the soul of Courtney Love. But I dig it. I do. And maybe you don't, but I think this is one of those songs, too, that a lot of people just find maybe a sense of belonging with. It's like, hey, I have felt that way, too. And all of a sudden, when I hear somebody else sing about these things, I don't feel so alone in the world. I think that's one of the better parts of music. Number two, another huge hit, maybe the biggest hit. Maybe, and maybe, to some people, this is the... this is the one. This is the quintessential whole song. It's Doll Parts. I am Doll Parts. And a lot of it, too, is, kind of about how, women are viewed in many respects, as objects and things of that nature. But, again, you go through the song and you begin to realize, too, there's some fragility with her. But number one, and I think this is a great song, which is why it's number one. And it is the title track off the 1998 release, Celebrity Skin. I love that opening guitar riff. I think you're going to dig it too. But, Make Me Over. Love it, man. I think it's a little bit irreverent too. And again, there were a lot of people too. And this is one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about this today. If you listen to this show, and we listen to this segment of the show, I love female rockers. I do. And not necessarily, the ones that get lingerie and go up there and just play 2 and 3 chord progressions and things like that. They're exploited in that respect. But I love people and love female singers that sing about relevant topics. It's one of the things that I love so much about Hellstorm and Lizzie Hale. But Courtney Love, I think, inspired a generation of young ladies to pick up a guitar and to sing about what's in their heart. And I think it's incredibly disrespectful to her, incredibly disrespectful, to suggest that she was kind of propped up just by the fact that she was married to Kurt Cobain for a while. And again, that was kind of a toxic relationship. And you go back and, you know Kim, who from Sonic Youth that produced her first album, Pretty on the Inside, told her, "You're going to ruin your life if you marry this guy." And I think there's some people probably on Kurt's side that said, "Hey, you're going to ruin your life if you marry this girl." And they did. And it went tragically. It absolutely did. But it's so funny. Courtney Love, of course, became, in many respects, the most hated woman in music. We even did a segment here a while back about songs about Courtney Love. And clearly she had some issues, and clearly she probably still does, and clearly she was a person that maybe didn't handle things well. But when you think about the fact that she lost her husband and eventually a bandmate in about 2 months' time. And so I think maybe giving her a little grace is probably good. Celebrity skin comes out and people say that, well, Billy Corgan wrote the whole thing, Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins. And then they say, well, Kirk wrote the whole Live Through This album. It's almost like they're trying to say she wasn't capable and that she had to have her love interest at the time, the men in her lives, to hold her hand and lead her through this process. Now, and I'm not going to sit here and say they didn't contribute, but to suggest that that's the only reason that she's successful, I think that's completely false. So there you go. So I don't know what you think about her as a person, but as a performer, Courtney Love was good. And there's actually some good live videos out there of her performing, and she can pull it off live. There are a lot of people out there that are just kind of studio, right? They're studio wonderkins. You get in the studio and you're like, this is incredible, and they can't pull it off live. But you can see her with some live performances out there. And there is some authenticity to who and what she is. So that's my top 10 whole songs. You probably weren't expecting that today, and you probably didn't expect me to be so complimentary of her. But I think in many respects, she's kind of a tragic figure. Has had a very difficult life. And some of it by her own making, right? I mean, it's true. I mean, even you go back and read all the the 911 dialogues and things like that, transcripts of those calls. Her and Kurt used to fight a lot, and Kurt said he was trying to get away from her because she was at times violent, and she's been blamed. And there are some people even to this day that think she killed Kurt Cobain. And I don't believe that. I don't. I don't think she pulled the trigger. Now, that said, I think the toxicity of the relationship certainly contributed to that. But there you go. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about kind of celebrate the music of one Courtney Love. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And our great lists are on Spotify under that same handle. I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. If you're not following me on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, what are you doing with life? Because you're probably missing some great Mississippi State news, because chances are we're going to have it first. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I love going in there and just kind of looking at all that stuff, imagining what it'll look like in my closet, when I wear it around town, when I put it on my wall, when I give it as a gift, to see the smile on people's faces, because nothing makes Mississippi State fans happier than having new Mississippi State merch. And you can take care of all your gift needs and your personal needs when it comes to Mississippi State merchandise at Campus Bookmart. When you get to town, go by, see their smiling faces. They will treat you like family, because in their minds, you are family. It's true. If you can't make it to town, perhaps you live in the mission field outside of the great state of Mississippi, you can still support a Starkville business, and we always encourage that, not just because I love Starkville, but I'm a small business owner myself. We encourage you to do that. You can do it at campusbookmart.net, and by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right. We got college football tomorrow. I don't know. Are you as excited as I am? I cannot wait to watch football tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to do anything else. And the truth of the matter is, I don't have a rooting interest in any of these games. I just want to watch some real football. I want to watch a game that matters. You know, a lot of people get all geeked up to watch preseason NFL football. I don't do it. I'm so busy doing other things. But tomorrow will be a day of rest and recreation in the Robertson household. Today, we're going to celebrate Ian Robertson's 19th birthday. But tomorrow, it's going to be a day of rest. And I'm going to enjoy these four games. Now, here's how it rakes out for you. Florida State at Georgia Tech. A lot of people think Florida State is kind of a sleeper team for the playoff. And after what they went through last year, you know, was it fair? You know, I think you could make a case, you know. I guess it was Mike Norvell that said when he found out that Marty McGee was at Alabama, they knew they were in trouble. I think that's right. But this Florida State at Georgia Tech game, certainly we expect Florida State to win that. They're ranked 10th in the country. That game's going to be played in Dublin, Ireland. Ben Rosenberg, you know Ben from Columbus Dispatch? Big Northwestern fan. He told me when Northwestern and Nebraska played across the pond here a few years ago, he went to the game. That's the only game they won that year, but he went. Him and his dad went. Pretty special moment. Hey, if the Bulldogs were playing in a foreign country, would you go? I think you'd have to, right? I mean, it's one of the reasons that I'm going back to Arizona this year. I mean, it's like, hey, when else am I going to get a chance to see my team play at Arizona State in my lifetime? Probably never again. And so this is a once-in-a-lifetime type opportunity for fans. The game is going to be broadcast on ESPN. I guess it'll be early evening in Dublin. It'll be 11 a.m. stateside. And I can never tell when ESPN is tracking my time zone. But that should be a fun game. I suspect that's the case. You know, I don't know how you feel about it. But it's Power 5 football, and it's a conference game right out of the chute, the very first game of the year. We're going to get to see that. Now, you know, Georgia Tech, nobody's expecting much, you know, from those guys. I think everybody kind of sees it for what it is. But looks like right now that the Seminoles are favored by 11. I guess some books have it a little bit different, but you know, by and large, 11 points. The over, under, set at 55 points. Yeah, we'll see how things go. We'll see how it goes, but, you know, listen, what do you expect from Georgia Tech this year? I mean, do you even pay attention to that? I really, you know, I don't, but it's that time of year, right? And I know many of you like to make the games a little more interesting and do some wagering. Not really my thing, you know, it's not. But, you know, you look here at this whole Georgia Tech thing from a year ago, and it's one of those things you begin to ask yourself, you know, how, you know, Georgia Tech, do they ever regret that decision, leaving the SEC? I would just say they probably do. But 7-6 last year, you know, so it wasn't a terrible year, you know, in the post-Jeff Collins era. Of course, they, you know, they lost that game in Oxford last year, 48-23. But they had to win over Wake last year. They beat Miami in Miami. And you got to wonder if Mario's in trouble this year if they have a bad year. But, yeah, they beat North Carolina 46-42. That was at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Bobby Dodd, previous candidate for the Mississippi State job back in the 1940s. Maybe you didn't know that. They go to Charlottesville, and they beat Virginia last year. And they beat Syracuse. And, of course, they put up a fight against Georgia. You know, Georgia, great team last year. But, you know, the Bulldogs win that thing 31-23. But they get invited to the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, Florida at Raymond James Stadium, and they beat Central Florida 30-17. So they end up with a winning record. So I'm sure there's a part of those guys thinking, you know what, hey, we can go in here and shock the world. But we're taking Florida State. I think you guys probably feel exactly the way that I do. I mean, I'm going to pick Florida State, and I don't think there's much question about it. I think they'll win the game. I'll be surprised if they don't. But it feels so good to talk about real football instead of like speculating, you know, it's just what we think and, you know, here's how things should go. We got a real game. That's an important aspect of everything, right? Real football. All right, so once that game is over, you can flip over to Fox Sports 1. Used to work for that company. Montana State at New Mexico. The Fighting Zach Arnett's. You know, it's interesting, too. A lot of people thought Arnett would be a candidate for that job, but I was told pretty quickly by some sources close to Zach that, no, he really wasn't interested in the job. Of course, that is his alma mater. You know my time at Albuquerque, New Mexico. And to be fair to the people of Albuquerque, you know, maybe because of the fact I was trying to extract my wife out of travel nursing. But I had some good times out there, but certainly happy to have her back. But yeah, Albuquerque, New Mexico is a tough place. It really is. I don't know if you know this. You are more likely to be the victim of a crime in Albuquerque, New Mexico than anywhere in the United States. And it's not typically a violent crime. It's typically, you know, theft and robbery and things like that. And Dana's car got broken into twice out there. She says it was just once, but it wasn't. It was twice. She just didn't want me to say, you know, put my foot down and say, no, you got to come home. Not that she would have come. You know you can't make your wife do anything. I can't. And I didn't want to marry some little Stepford wife either. But anyway, so Albuquerque, there is a lot of civic pride there about UNM there. They love the fact that they've got the university there. It's the biggest employer in town. I guess law enforcement's probably second. But it's going to be interesting. Montana State goes in there. The Montana State program is favored by 13.5. So they're expected to get a road win there. So you may not even care about Montana State and New Mexico, but you're probably going to watch it because it's on TV, the George Costanza approach. Well, why are people tuning in? Because it's on TV. All right, so the CBS Sports Network game, primetime game, SMU is at Nevada. This could prove to be a fun game here. Of course, Rhett Lashley remained at SMU. They're making their ascension to Power 5 football or Power 4 football, whatever we want to call it these days. The Mustangs favored by 26 over Nevada. That's a big, big number in a road game, especially in week one. I won't be surprised if the Wolfpack cover, but you certainly expect SMU to score. Rhett Lashley, of course, a guy that a lot of SEC pedigree with him. Of course, he spent some time at Auburn. At times, people loved him. Other times, they didn't. When Gus Malzahn was failing, people kind of threw Rhett Lashley under the bus. And there were some people that wanted Rhett Lashley to get our job when we hired Jeff Levy. And it didn't take long, kind of working the phones last year, to find out that Rhett wasn't going anywhere. You know, Rhett, in the beginning, was kind of willing to listen. And people that have good representation, they will be encouraged to listen because you want to know what your market value was. But SMU, to their credit, has thrown some money into that program as they get ready, you know, to kind of get back on the big stage. You know, people forget when I was a kid, and many of you were kids too, I guess in some respects all of you are, some of you still are, even though you're middle-aged adolescents, but SMU was the deal, man. They really were. And then we got to see all of that stuff that kind of play out in front of us with the death penalty. But you remember Craig James and Eric Dickerson? Those were fun teams to watch. And, of course, they were comprised through ill-gotten gains. There were a lot of people involved on the payroll. And if you've ever seen The Pony Excess, and if you hadn't, I'd encourage you to watch it. It's incredible to go back and see kind of the fallout. And SMU got the death penalty, and rightfully so, to be honest with you. You go back and look, man, they were constantly skirting the rules and constantly under investigation, and they just simply did not care. And then the NCAA made them care. And I don't know that they've ever really recovered. I guess June Jones, I had a chance to talk to him at Conference USA Media Days several years ago. And I told him, I said, you know, there's probably in the heart of every college football fan, they're kind of excited to see SMU win again. I said, how does it feel to be the guy that kind of brought SMU back to prominence, you know? But of course, they were part of, the Southwest Conference. But it's taken them so long to recover. Because it's not just about scholarships, right? I mean, you get stained in some respects, but also, too, it's just, you have to start a program from scratch. Again, they didn't have a transfer portal back then. And I think what you've seen from SMU is proof positive that we'll probably never see the death penalty again. Even as rogue a program as they were, what they have endured, for the better part of 40 years, is probably the proof that you need to say, you know what, this is probably a bit of an overreach. And I'm looking this up just because I'm curious, and I figure if I'm curious, you probably are too. But you go back and look at the SMU record books here. Of course, Bobby Collins got Southern Miss put in all kinds of trouble. And so Bobby gets there. He takes over for Ron Meyer. Ron Meyer goes 10-1 his final year. Then goes to the NFL. Bobby Collins takes over and kind of picks up where he left off in more ways than one. And if you were alive in that time, you remember Southern Miss was a good team, but they were constantly under NCAA scrutiny, and Bobby Collins was part of that. And there were people that wanted Mississippi State to hire Bobby Collins. We could have been SMU, right? But, they go 11-0-1 and win the Cotton Bowl, finished number two in the country in 1982. And it's a 10-win season in 83 and 84, and right there around the top 10. So, the first 3 years under Bobby Collins were great. And then things started to change. 6-5, 6-5, and then the death penalty. Forrest Gregg takes over in 89. They go 2-9 and 1-10, and then he's gone. They bring in Tom Rossley, 1-10, 5-6, 2-7, 1-9, 1-10. I mean, you just couldn't get it together. They make the move from the Southwest Conference to the WAC, go 5-6. You would think, well, maybe that's, step down in competition. And then they hire Mike Caven. He goes 6-5. Didn't make a ball game, but you're 6-5, first winning season in a long time. Since that's the post-death penalty era. And then it's 5-7, 4-6, 3-9, 4-7. They fire him. Bring in Phil Bennett, 3-9, 0-12, 3-8. Fire him. I guess that's not correct. Phil Bennett hung in there. They made the move to Coosa. And it's 5-6, 6-6, 1-11. And then they bring in June Jones. In year one, June Jones goes 1-11. And then it's 8-5. And ironically, they get to go to the Hawaii Bowl, where June Jones, of course, made some success with Timmy Chang and the great, run and shoot offense. Then it's 7-7, 8-5, 7-6. So a good run there. And June retires after the 14 season. Kind of fell apart there at the end. They bring in Chad Morris. You remember Chad, right, from his time at Arkansas. And again, you look at these numbers and you begin to realize that Chad probably shouldn't have got the job. 2-10, 5-7, and then 7-6. So he has one decent year, and then they lose the bowl game, and then he's moved on to Arkansas. Sonny Dykes comes in, 5-7, 10-3, 7-3, 8-4. So pretty good run there for Sonny Dykes. And then now read last week, 7-6, and then last year they go 11-3. Had the opportunity to win 12 games last year. Think about that for a second. They finished ranked in the top 25, but they lose the bowl game. They go 8-0 in the AAC, win their conference title, go 11-3, and had they won that game, it would have been the winningest season in school history. And so, again, you kind of understand why SMU people wanted to kind of hang on to him. It's like, hey, we haven't had sustained success for a while. We'd love to have that. So we're going to do our best to hang on to them. All right, the nightcap, and I don't know where you can watch this. I'm sure it'll be somewhere if you want some late-night football, and it's going to start about 11, so shortly after the SMU-Nevada game goes final. Delaware State is at Hawaii. Maybe they should call it June Jones Stadium. But Hawaii favored by 40.5, and I'm sure if you're Delaware State, you're thinking it'll be fun. It'll be fun to just kind of go out there and go to Hawaii. Wouldn't it be great, right? Especially on somebody else's dime. And I'm sure they got a chance to go out there a little bit early and kind of acclimate and see the sights a little bit. But now it's time to play a ball game. So that's your four games tomorrow. The winners, in my estimation, yeah, I think the chalk pretty much holds. You know, Florida State, Montana State, SMU, and then Hawaii. But how fun is it to be able to watch some college football? And, of course, next Thursday, a huge schedule of games. Huge. So you'll get to watch some football this weekend, and then next week you'll kind of start getting excited and like, oh, football season kind of snuck up on me. Mississippi State plays this weekend. We got to pack the car. We got to get all the tailgating stuff out. We got to be able to get that stuff going. And speaking of, you can get new tailgating supplies at Campus Bookmart too. Nice to have them around. But big, big, big schedule next week. You're going to get a ton of games Thursday night. Not a lot of notable games. That North Carolina and Minnesota game could be a little bit dicey there. But it's mainly, you know, smaller schools playing on Thursday, and many of them on ESPN. You do get Mizzou. So the first SEC team, I guess Arkansas too. Arkansas and Mizzou both play Thursday night, but against, you know, people they should blow out. And then we got a handful of games on Friday. And then it's a full schedule on Saturday. And then, you know, we're getting in Labor Day weekend. There is the USC and LSU game on Sunday. That'll be fun. And then Labor Day game is Boston College at Florida State. So quick turnaround for Florida State here. They'll play a couple games here pretty quick. I don't think that Boston College game is just going to be a walk in the park either. But looking forward to that USC LSU game. So yeah, it's so fun now that we've talked about summer camps, we've talked about recruiting, we've talked about baseball portal stuff. It's college football time now, and this is a time that we all look forward to. And I've had these discussions with friends so many times. It's like, and whether it be baseball, basketball, or football, it's like you look so forward to this for so long. And then when it's here, you're so excited it's here, and it's like over before you know it, especially football season. Like, football season to me goes by in like 6 days. I mean, it's just like when you're winning, you can't wait to play again. And then when you're losing, you start dreading game day. And I think this year is going to kind of be a mixed bag, and it's really going to be something we talk about here in the final segment of the show. But you just love college football. And if you're like me, you know, your two favorite teams are Mississippi State and whoever plays Ole Miss. And I think that adds some intrigue to the season, too. You know, I remember back in, I guess it was 14, you know, when Ole Miss got beat to death by Arkansas and how fun that was for us. And, you know, with the Mississippi Mayhem cover on Sports Illustrated and all that. And so you're rooting for your team, but you're rooting against them. And you wanted to see who would be the first to lose. And it was a fun year, though. It really was a fun year. And it didn't end the way we wanted it to, but it was a lot of fun being relevant and having so many eyes on the state of Mississippi. Now, that said, I'd much prefer us to be good and them to be rotten all the time. I'm sure they feel the same way about us. But I think the most exciting part of it is the fact that we've got a new coach. We've got a new culture. We've got a new air in the building. And I think that's important, too. And again, I still believe we're probably going to upset somebody. I think Jeff Lebby offensively will attack somebody in a way that they're not expecting. And we're going to upset somebody. I think there will be – we always talk about the signature win, right? And with Leach, you got it right out of the gate, right? You got that signature win in week one when you went down to Baton Rouge and beat the defending national champions to death. And you should have beat them even worse. People forget, KJ Costello set the SEC record that day. Also had four turnovers. We protect the football there, my goodness. It's a win for the ages. It took Moen a while to get that signature win. He won. He didn't lose the games that he was expected to win until we got in 2016. But it took a while to get that big signature win. And so I think that Jeff Lebby this year, call it a hot take, maybe a mild take, I think he's going to beat somebody he's not expected to this year. And again, I think it's going to be one of those, maybe 6-6 is what I'm predicting. maybe 7-5 if you pull off an upset and win the games you're expected to win. But not a lot of margin for error. But the reality of it is, I think Jeff Lebby is such a competitor and he knows offense so well. I think there's going to be one of those Saturdays that kind of sends a signal to everybody. It's like, you know what, yeah, we absolutely got the right guy. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you are bringing a large group of people to Starkville, to the Golden Triangle area, whether it be for work or recreation, there's no better place to stay than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. What could be better than that? You can do your tailgating there. Full-service kitchen, wet bar, huge back porch area. Everybody can sit out there, have an adult beverage, watch the sunset, just kind of enjoy some cooler temps. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to fall, blue jean weather, leather jacket weather. Can't wait for it. Also, that fire pit area, too. Conversations around a fire are just more meaningful. I can't explain why that is, but it's true. It's true. Listen, whether it's a couples weekend, a family weekend, maybe just a football family friendly weekend, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse could be for you. Maybe you're bringing a work group to town. Maybe you're going to just need like a home base as everybody kind of spreads out and carries out their work duties in the Golden Triangle area. Rather than waste your time and money with five hotel rooms, stay at the five-bedroom, two-bath Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page is going to auto-populate. You can peruse the amenities that are available to you and all your guests. There's also going to be some booking options. Now, you can book through Airbnb. You can book through VRBO. I don't judge. In addition to that, you can book through the Evolve website, and I can save you a little money. Promo code BSR10, BSR10, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, you get a chance to get a discount at an incredible facility right here, 5 minutes away from Mississippi State. So you can just have all your recreational needs met there. Leave, go to the ball game, come back. Instead of having to fight that traffic going home, it's great. Some friends of mine have used the facility. They had a great time too. They'll be back. You will be as well. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle area. So next week will be our game week, obviously. So we get Jeff Lebby on Monday. And then we'll get players on Tuesday. I think we get them on Wednesday. We haven't seen the finalized schedule. And then Jeff Lebby's call-in show will be Wednesday as well. And I believe the SEC teleconference is also on Wednesday. So you'll get a lot of Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State content the first part of the week. And then we're going to get into game prep. Now, some things have changed on campus, and I'm going to get more into this next week. There are a couple of changes to traffic flow on campus. You know, used to they'd block that, coming in off College View, you know, they kind of block some things up there. That's going to be a little bit different. There is actually the Bost Street extension will now kind of serve as your thoroughfare, kind of cutting across there. But as far as driving up to the stadium, no. That road doesn't exist anymore. Coming in from Palmero or coming in from Humphrey Coliseum. If you come in that area, drop-off areas have changed. And so you need to be aware of that. Now, ladies, I'm going to speak to you. Wives, girlfriends, significant others. I don't know how you choose to identify. So forgive me if I offend thee. And truthfully, if you've offended, maybe you need to be offended. But all that I understand, ladies, please listen to me. Please listen to me. Afford your husband or boyfriend or whoever you're with, afford them more time. You know how these early games go, especially when there's been changes to traffic flow on campus. People get there and like, oh, I know where I'm going. And nobody looks at the map. And you just use your GPS. And sometimes GPS hadn't updated. And you're going to be frustrated. Your driver is going to be frustrated, right? So let me encourage you, everybody get ready and plan to leave an hour earlier than normal, at least in week 1 and maybe week 3. give yourself a little more time. Now, a couple other things that you can do. Go ahead and upload your tickets to your wallet. One of the reasons that we have so many delays getting into the stadium is everybody wants to hang out and party with friends, and I get it. And they say, okay, well, I'll just walk over to the stadium about 20 minutes before kickoff. Well, then there's people ahead of you that don't have their tickets in their wallet. You know, your digital wallet, your Apple wallet. Go ahead and take care of that now. And it takes you 5 seconds. But it's going to save you and everybody behind you a lot of time, because you start fumbling through it and, oh my gosh, I forgot to do that. Be prepared. Now, I love our game management people, and those people do a good job for us as best they can. These people don't live on the Mississippi State campus. They may live in Starkville, they may live in Columbus. They don't live on campus. And so when you pull up and say, hey, where is Lot 8? They have no clue. No clue, most of them. They're not going to have a clue. And you need to be fair to them. And I'm going to ask people too, as always, please be courteous to those people. They're just people trying to do a good job and help us facilitate getting to and from campus. And at times I'll see people that kind of get engaged and get aggravated and say, hey, let me just pay to park here. Well, if you don't have the right parking pass, not only will you get your car towed, you may get that person fired. And to be honest with you, if they're accepting cash for a parking space, they should be fired. But that's few and far between. We have some really good people that have been doing this for a long time, but things change. And so it's early season mode for them. It's early season mode for your team. It's early season mode for you. So let's all get prepared, give ourselves a little more time to get there and get settled. Because the last thing you want on game day is to have a fight with anybody. And what happens is people's anxiety level gets elevated, because I've been so looking forward to being back in Davis Wade Stadium. I want to see this new look offense. I want to be excited. And then I miss kickoff. That sucks. I mean, you look forward to this for so long, and then a lot of it's your own fault. So I'm encouraging you to leave early. Be patient with yourself, with everybody in your vehicle, and plan ahead by transferring your tickets to your Apple Wallet, okay? Now, in addition to that, this is going to be one of those years that we're not expected to contend for anything. I think this team is better than people project. That's typically my feeling, though. And one of the reasons that I've done these, positional previews and stuff is just kind of prepare you based on what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing. I think we're going to be a decent team. I don't think we're going to be a great team. And that's not an indictment on Jeff Lebby. It's year one. It's his first year being a head coach. It's not like, and even Mike Leach's first year was difficult. And of course, Leach has to come in, put his system in. And we had that great game at LSU. And the next thing you know, we saw drop eight the rest of the year. You know, it took us a while. And I remember asking Leach about that. He goes, well, I probably have seen more of it than anybody in the history of college football. So yes, I know how to attack it. But you got to think, you know, how many wide receivers do you think we've had in the last 20 years that ever had to deal with drop eight? Everybody was kind of bringing the safety up in the box and trying to stop the run, trying to stop quarterback power, trying to stop the zone read. And so you had a lot of one-on-one coverage, so it took a while to acclimate. But first-year coaches at Mississippi State, you know, you look in recent years, you know, I read an article yesterday really about, you know, the last 50 years. If memory serves me correct, Jeff Lebby is the 36th football coach in Mississippi State history. 11 of the preceding 35 had a winning season in year one. Now, Jeff Lebby also has the benefit of the transfer portal. Zach Arnett had it too, but it's a much different dynamic. And, you know, all due respect to Zach, I mean, Jeff is a guy, obviously, that it's a little more prepared for the job. This guy's been a coordinator for a long time. But there's going to be some growing pains. And so if we go out there and lay an egg in a ball game, let's don't all just go jump on social media and say, well, Lebby's not the answer. I think he is the answer. I think he's going to do extremely well here. But this year, it's going to be about laying a foundation for the future. And you go back and you remember, you know, let's just kind of work back here. You know, Leach, the first year, tough year. We still won the ball game. You know, we got to kind of go by default, but we still won the ball game. So it gave you a little bit of juice heading into the next year. had a much better year in 2021. Still had to deal with some COVID restrictions. We lose the Egg Bowl, of course, and then lose the Liberty Bowl to Texas Tech. It was a terrible, terrible day. And then in 22, obviously he comes back and everybody's like, hey, he's coaching for his job, which wasn't true. But that's how they felt. He needed to win the Egg. So we have an 8-4 year, win the Egg. Then Arnett leads us to a win in the bowl game, and we end up with a top 20 finish. And so it takes a little time. You go back to Joe Moorhead. He inherited a very talented roster. I would venture to say he has probably inherited the best roster of any Bulldog first-year coach in the last 50 years. He had 3 first-round picks on that defense in 18. And even though we won 8 games that year, we feel like the year was a disappointment because of how things finished. But it's so interesting. You know, Joe Moorhead was here just 2 years, wins the Egg both years, and gets to a bowl game and gets fired. And I don't know what your feelings are about Joe. He's a great man. He just didn't win enough. And I think things are kind of running off the rails late. I mean, you had seniors not coming to bowl practices. And, of course, you had the incident where Garrett Schrader gets knocked out of the bowl game, because of a fight that he was responsible for, too. A lot of people just blame Willie Gay. They were both responsible. We discussed that at length. Dan Mullen goes 5-7 in year one. Should have beat LSU that year. Should have beat Houston. Should have gone to a bowl game. But I kind of see this season kind of like that one. I think we'll get one of those games and get to 6-6 and get to a bowl game somewhere. And so I think it's important to understand what Dan Mullen did in year one. And I remember it against LSU. Dan thought he could score against anybody. And he did for the most part. There were some games that didn't go our way. But there was a new level of enthusiasm around this fan base. And people were eager to get back out there because we had been so poor offensively in the Kroom era. And even though the Arnett era was just 1 year, you work through all of that and you begin to realize, too, that you need an offensive-minded coach here. I mean, watching this team last year, as much as we love them, was very, very frustrating on the offensive side. And, of course, you had some injuries. Will Rogers missed 4 games. Woody Marks gets banged up in the Western Michigan game, and it seemed like poor old Woody gave us everything he had. I mean, remember, we go to Arkansas. He scores the only touchdown in the game. But, man, he was far from 100%. But watching that team last year on offense was brutal. And so we're ready to see some people light up the scoreboard. And I think Levy in year two is going to be much better than he is in year one. And that just kind of stands to reason. That's just kind of how life works. You kind of get this on-the-job training. But my hope is that our fans will be patient with Jeff Levy. And there are some things sometimes that get tweeted and posted on Facebook and things like that as prisoners of the moment, like in the moment, But I think before we go out there and hit send or post, I think we need to understand, hey, let's take a look at an inventory of where we are. What are our reasonable expectations for this team? If we go 6-6, it's been a good year considering the changes that have taken place. And again, over 40 new scholarship Bulldogs this year. It takes some time to kind of meld these guys together. Now, the good thing is we get 3 non-conference games before we have to play Florida. But that Arizona State game, even though they were poor last year, it's not going to be an easy undertaking. It's probably the most important game on our schedule. So you beat Eastern Kentucky, and we fully expect to beat them and probably beat them well. And you remember last year, that first half against Southeastern was tough. Even though we ended up winning a game big, there were some people like, man, this offense is so bad. I'm like, hey, just give it time, right? Give them some time. But those people were proven to be correct, even though it was probably an unfair characterization of things in game one, in week one, in year one with a new coach. But Jeff Levy has had an opportunity to coach in Power 5 football extensively. And you look at the numbers, and we've ran them and discussed them on this show before. He is a guy that knows how to score. He is a guy that knows how to create matchups that are advantageous to his offense and his quarterback. So we're going to score. And I think that we'll probably get Eastern Kentucky really good. And I think there are some people right now that are kind of on the fence because, hey, college athletics is not what it was 10 years ago. It's not. And I can't sit here and tell you it's better. But when we tee it up All of the other changes in college athletics really don't matter. It's about who's wearing maroon and white. It's about who's in the stands ringing the cowbell. It's not about all this other NCAA stuff. It's not about the business of athletics. It's about young men and young women representing our university and representing all of us. And so my hope is this year will be a fun year for you. And we want you to be here. We love it when you're here. It's like a family reunion. Every weekend, whether it be football, basketball, or baseball, we love it when you're here. We love being here. But we love you coming home to Starkville. And so if we have a game that doesn't go our way, let's not just say, well, that's it. I'm just going to stay home watching on TV. You know, Mississippi State needs you here. These young student athletes, they need you here. And I think we have a responsibility to show Jeff Lubbock, you know what, coach, we believe in you. We believe in the future. We know that this year may not be the year that many people hope or expect, but we're going to be here. We're going to be here to represent Mississippi State. We're going to be here to support our university. My hope is that is something we can all agree upon. If you haven't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can pre-order The Dude. That'll be out here in a few weeks. And we hope to have an official release date for you next week. All books ordered through the website will be signed. And all of my sports titles are there. Very limited qualities of villains and alpha dogs. Still got, you know, plenty of flim-flam and some dog pile, and every bulldog needs dog pile. And I encourage you, maybe fill out your collection. You know, when you're ordering The Dude, it is the book that I am the most proud of. And of course, When the Bottom Falls is there too. But it's been a lot of fun. It's hard for me to believe it's book number 7. It's crazy. I started writing flim-flam, I guess, in 16. And so, you know, 7 books in 8 years. It's pretty prolific, if I do say so myself. And one of my goals when I moved to Starkville 10 years ago, I said, you know, I want to write books about Mississippi State. I want to write the Mississippi State story because I believe that we have been underrepresented in Mississippi's literary heritage. And so it's been my goal to change that. And in some respects, I've kind of created my own lane, but I hope other people are inspired to write Mississippi State books now and in the future. I've never really had this. You know, we've never had Mississippi State books on a regular basis. And so it has been my gift to you, and I think Duty Noble is the best thing that I have written, especially on the sports side. And again, I share this with you guys too. When I was working through the research, I floated a lot, and I think floating can help you too. A lot of people said, but Steve, I can go float in my pool. Not like this. You go in there, sensory deprivation. You have a chance to just let your mind be quiet. You're not on your phone. You're not listening to music. Sometimes I do. There's a little music in the beginning. Then there's like 45 minutes of silence. It gives you a chance to just kind of take the trash out a little bit mentally. If you got chronic pain, you got chronic anxiety, we may be able to help you. Come be a part of it. And again, if you're going to plan to float during football season, you need to book ahead of time. You can download the True Rest app and you can book online, or you can call 662-268-7601. My lovely wife will take care of you, answer all your questions, and get you set up. And it is an amazing experience. We have several student-athletes that come. We have several faculty members that come. And we just have some local Stark villains that have just found some relief with this. And again, we may be able to help you too. And a lot of people have questions. As you know, Steve, I may be claustrophobic. Well, you can leave the pod doors open. Well, Steve, I don't know if I want to be in the dark. Well, there's a light that you control, and you can pick the color of the light. But you're floating in 1,200 pounds of Epsom salt in a sensory-free environment. And it's a level of relaxation I've never experienced in my life until I floated for the first time in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, a couple years ago. We wanted to make Starkville a better place, and we've had several Boneyard listeners that have come and floated too and have joined our discount program as well. So come be a part of it, and many of you are thinking about coming next week. Again, we're starting to see a lot of traffic kind of pre-booking for next weekend, and so I'm going to encourage you to do that. I'd hate for you to be, maybe this is like one of only a couple games you come to, and you say, hey, I want to try that while I'm in town, and we didn't plan ahead, right? So I'm just encouraging you, you need an appointment. We do take some walk-ins, but it's typically middle of the week, because when you know, we only have 4 pods, right? And we don't want to start your pod your float in the middle of somebody else, and there's a door that gets slammed or something like that. And so it's a great experience. And, you know, we pushed all our chips in the middle. We could have done anything. Then I could have come home, worked at the hospital. But we wanted to do something that brought real value to Starkville. And there were so many people when we first said, oh, you need to open this in Tupelo or open it in Madison. It's like, no, I live in Starkville. And I want to make Starkville a better place. And I'm very proud that the first float therapy spa in the state is in Starkville, Mississippi. There are a couple places out there that have a pod, an old generation pod. But this is an opportunity for you to do something that's very unique that may bring some real benefit to your life. Again, that's True Rest of Starkville. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and book today at 662-268-7601. Let's get out of here. It's been a great week for us here. And again, next week is game week, so we'll get together on Monday. We'll start talking a little more about Eastern Kentucky, kind of breaking down what they're talking about, what we can expect. You know, that's going to be a new-look team as well. Maybe some question marks, you know. They got some transfers and that kind of stuff, but they'll finalize the roster. And we'll begin to kind of talk about what Eastern Kentucky brings to the table. But at the end of the day, it's not really about the opponent. It's about Mississippi State. And we need you to be here and help support the Mississippi State Bulldogs, Davis Wade Stadium. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.